I know there's lots of excitement because this is indeed a celebration on Sunday. I also just want to say, in the past couple of months since the last picnic, we've seen many new families come to the church from Arizona, from even local. So let's just give everyone from the Rock, let's give everyone that's a newcomer today to this picnic a round of applause for coming today. We really do welcome you. I can tell those of you that are perhaps new or perhaps joining the Rock again, if you've been away for a few months, this is a good place. I can say that because this is our... this is our one-year anniversary. I don't know if you guys remember. I probably only Elder May Singh and Deacon Coleman will know this, but 1 year ago, tomorrow, April 1st, was our candidating Sunday. That was where I preached my candidate sermon, and we did question and answer time afterwards. And I was kind of put on the hot spot. So I just want to say, officially our start date was May 15th, but we've had a great time, Grayson, Lorena, and I. So thank you very much. This will be an emotional sermon for me because it's many thank yous I want to say to you. I want to thank the church council for the trust. I want to thank you, Pastor Tung. Thank you for always enabling me and giving me lots of trust as well. Thank you, Elder May Singh, and once again to the whole church council. I want to bless everyone today with this reminder that all of our salvation and our honor come from God. Psalm 62:7 says, He is the mighty rock. He is our refuge. You can't tell from me right now, but I was once very, very skinny. I was probably skinnier than whey. And there have been times in my life I've been very sick. I've been very weak and sickly. Today we all have allergies. I've had ulcers. I've had lots of worry in my life. And I can remember growing up in grammar school that we would go out during recess. And you know how usually in all countries you have teams. And we're about to pick teams later for the Olympics that we're going to do as a church. But you know how you choose teams? Well, the teacher would always, in Canada, pick the two largest boys. And he would make them the captains of the softball team. I know here you play baseball. We play softball. And in turn, they would pick themselves to always be the pitcher, because that's the best position. And then they would choose the rest of the kids based on size. And then they would base it on an athletic ability. And then perhaps sometimes out of friendship. Sometimes it was maybe they had a skill. Sometimes it was maybe because they had equipment. They had a special glove that they had, or maybe they had a new baseball bat that their father bought for them. Until finally, the teacher would then, when it comes to my turn, say, someone needs to take Paul. Well, eventually one of those kids would kick the dirt and say, okay, we'll take him. And I'd usually be sent way out to behind the right fielder. And I don't think I ever had a chance to go up the bat. So I want to tell you right away that I love, I cherish, I desire to be chosen. And I like the words that our Savior Jesus says in the 15th chapter of John. They mean something to me right away when I read. I'm only going to share one verse today. You did not choose me. I chose you. This is Jesus talking to us. We sometimes have this idea that it was like this. I've always chosen Jesus. We were going down through life and things weren't going very well. And then we encountered Jesus in some way, and we said, oh, I believe. I choose you, Jesus. And then he can bring my life together, he pulls it together, and then he can make me the person that I want to be. But that's not the way it was at all. This is the way it was. We were each going down the road, and when you saw him, Jesus said, I choose you. Will you be on my team? I've got a spot for you on my team. Jesus has always said this throughout the centuries. He says, I'll take him. I'll take her. You be on my side. I've got a place for you on my team. I can tell you this, that I was chosen, and it has made all the difference. There's just two things I'd like to share with you about what it means when we're chosen. I know that often I am an improbable choice.
growing up
25 years ago, if you would ask my high school friends, you know, that one day I'd be speaking in Austin, in Brushy Creek, to 150 people, they would have said, no way. My trust in Jesus has sometimes wavered.
There have been days where sometimes I've not taken him seriously.
And as we fast forward to today, and I'm speaking to you right now, you know, my voice used to crack in public speaking. My stomach would get in such bad stomach aches that I'd have to take pain medication just before I would speak. I could not pray in public. I was too shy and I was too nervous. So you can't understand the choice of God by looking at the person he chooses. You understand it by looking in the person of the heart. You understand by looking in the heart of the person doing the choosing. That is God. Jesus chooses us because he loves us. Do you know what it means for you to say, Jesus, I need you? You think back across your days where you failed your first assignment. Perhaps a day where you might have lost your job. Perhaps the day you immigrated to the United States. The first time you set foot in a hospital to visit a sick family member. Or the day, perhaps, that someone in your family passed away. When the baby was sick. When you were injured and crying. Think of those times that you just had enough strength to breathe the name, Jesus, I need you. Can you believe that this Jesus cares about us? To Jesus, it means every bit to him to say your name. You did not choose me. I chose you. I picked you to be on my team. Jesus chooses us. Jesus is often chosen improbable people. Colossians chapter 3 says, but we, all of us, we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So in whatever you are doing, because I have a good memory, and I celebrate reminders, and I celebrate anniversaries. And whatever you're doing between this Easter and the next, I would like to offer this encouragement that we get to know Jesus as much as he wants to get to know us. We ought to know him. Let me ask you this. What does his voice sound like? Some of you were singing just earlier. Is Jesus' voice a bass? Is he a tenor? When he speaks to you, does he whisper? Or does he need to shout to you through actions? In everything you are doing, whatever you are doing, you should know what his voice sounds like. I'm just going to close with this. You know, there's something I know now more about the significance of milestones. Because like I said, today was our 1 year anniversary of candidating here. You know, RCCA, we've had a really good year getting to know one another. Because we've walked alongside with one another. Because we've heard each other. Because some of us have cried together. Because some of us sing together. But ultimately, it's because we have been together. Isn't it wonderful to know that all the things that we know today about Jesus, because of the experiences we have in the past, gives us meaning to move forward? That is, it's actually exciting. If we wait another year, perhaps using the milestone of the next Easter morning, then my walk and relationship with Jesus might mean more. Because we would have walked with him. We perhaps would have heard him. Perhaps we would have cried with him. Maybe because we sang with him. Maybe because we have been with him. So in everything we are doing, please this year, get to know Jesus.